cliffcentral.com.
Nos vamos pegando poquito a poquito.
Hasta provocar tus gritos. Y que olvides tu apellido.
Despacito.
Isn't it true that Bieber started singing this song at some concert, couldn't remember the Spanish words, and just went blah, 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 blah? He did, right?
What a dodo.
Isn't that what he does with most of his concerts nowadays?
That's funny. I love it. All right.
It's like marketing 101, dude. Mm. Seriously.
Morning. Morning, everybody. Uh-huh. It's Tuesday in the middle of winter.
Amanda and I were walking up the stairs this morning. And I said to her, yeah, it's nice and cold, huh? She goes, yeah. I said, wait, July's even worse. It is. July's always colder than June, right?
But guys, we passed the solstice now, so we are just downhill to summer.
Technically, Ben.
Yeah.
But watch. Next month is colder. And it's almost the end of the month.
Oh, it's always darkest before the dawn.
We hope so. Okay, Florence and the Machine. But no, like now, as you wake up in the morning and it's cold, even opening up the tap is a problem. Because you just like, even if you're like opening the hot water and
yeah, I know.
Oh.
A problem or invigorating?
All right, here's my tip.
Problem.
I have a bathroom next to my bedroom. Mm-hmm. I put the heater in the bathroom, not in the bedroom. That's a good plan, right? Because the bathroom is always way colder than the bedroom, and you've got that tiled floor, and it's and my heater is one of those heaters that if it falls over, it switches off.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's safe, it's plugged in, and it's nowhere near water. So it's in the bathroom, but it's nowhere near water. It's in the middle of the bathroom. And I leave that on at night, so I walk into the bed, the bathroom in the morning, and it's nice and warm. Toasty.
The smartest thing I've ever seen was, I walked into someone's bathroom once, and there was a heat lamp.
Ooh.
So basically, mounted on the wall is what appears to give ample light, but also providing all the heat.
Ah. That's clever. I know these people who have underfloor heating in their bathrooms, but that is expensive shit to run.
Yeah, you see now, that's wealth. Yeah. That's not even being rich.
Your
that's
electricity
wealth.
Bill goes sky high. I mean, forget, if you own a Bugatti, that's nothing compared to if you have underfloor heating in your bathroom and you leave it on. That's something else.
Yeah.
At my house, we had underfloor heating installed through the winter. And it was like... Heaven. Amazing. We used it for a year, and we've had it for 7 years, and we've never used it again.
Because it was too expensive.
It's just too expensive.
You see, I remember this is when I first became interested in popular culture.
Uh-huh.
Years ago, probably the early 2000s, I heard a story about Bill Cosby when there were still good things said about him.
Yeah.
With his New York apartment.
Yeah.
And he had underfloor heating on the outside of his door. So the little doorstep, the steps leading down, and the front portion of the pavement in front of his house. So I mean, just like, so that if he stops, you know, his car stops on the street and he gets off, that's heated.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not going to feel that through his shoes, right?
Oh, no, but so that there's just no ice in front of his door. That's those are the people who don't call a watch a watch. They call it a timepiece. That's wow.
I got you. All right. I like the way you're spinning this story. So yeah, this is good.
Thanks.
Okay, we got a lot of news stories that we want to get to this morning. We should maybe start with some of those. Then I do want to get to that list of things that people shouldn't do on planes, because this is like a public service announcement. We all need to start behaving ourselves when we are around each other in close proximity. Otherwise, we just lead to torment and pain and anguish.
Well, if we are talking about wealth in the midst of our current economic state, a list has just revealed that 9 out of 10 of South Africa's richest suburbs are now in Cape Town.
So 9 out of 10.
So they may not have water, but evidently they still have like water features galore.
I'm pretty sure these 9 suburbs still have water.
Joburg used to have at least 5 or 6 of those 10. Mm. Now they've got 1.
You'd think maybe Sandton, Waterfall, something or the other, Hyde Park. None of that has made the top 10.
The thing is, like, Sandton's such a massively broad area. It's hard to classify.
Mm.
But so, definitely Sandhurst. I mean, Houghton back in the day must have been one of them.
Yeah. Westcliff has now slipped out of the top 10, but you were right,
I would have
said
they would be top 10 for sure.
Yeah, the only mention that Joburg has is Sandhurst, and that's number 4 on the list. The top 3 of the top 10 high net worth suburbs currently is Bantry Bay, Lalando, and number 1, Clifton.
Llandudno.
Llandudno. Oh, my gosh. That's it. Done for the day. Goodbye. I'm gone.
I want to go to Lalando. That sounds fancy.
Average price in Clifton, 23 million. By the way, kidding. This is the average price of properties sold there. 23 million rand. So what do we know about like all of this?
Clifton's a street though. I mean, we can get very excited about this as a suburb, but it's essentially a street where foreign people have bungalows.
Man, a rep from a property group says, prices have comfortably reached 100 million rand.
Oh.
What's comfortable about that? To like 200 million rand plus levels.
I tell you what's comfortable is the sales commission. That's comfortable.
Yeah, imagine being you're just the estate agent who sells that. And you are, 5%? 3%?
Even let's just...
1% is a million.
That is true.
1% is a million.
Of a 100 million estate.
So even if you just sold, I mean, that's a million rand bonus for selling it. Good Lord. I've always wanted to know, and I've asked this question before, and I'm sorry if you've heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference between a 30 million rand house and a 100 million rand house? I mean, there's not 70 million rands worth of new rooms and stuff and facilities. There isn't.
Mm-mm.
It's not possible. A 30 million rand house, let me tell you right now, I've been in a 30 million rand house once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
I know people who live like that. It's got a cinema. It's got a pool, a jacuzzi, heated bathrooms. It's got everything.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that you need another 70 million to get to the next level. And what is the next level? So you have a different view? Is that it?
Yeah.
Is it the view?
And I think the actual piece of land.
Yeah, well, that's
and
ridiculous.
The positioning of it.
It's a 30 million rand house. And think about this for a second. If you have a 10 million rand house somewhere, you could probably for 10 million buy 100 acres of farmland somewhere.
Sure.
Or an airport. Or something. You could you probably could. I mean, you could like buy something much more useful than a 30 million rand house. And then to take that up by 70 million more and go, no, I'm gonna splurge 100 mil. 100 million rand on a house?
Yeah, I agree with you. Splitting hairs. But I think once you get into the three figures of millions, there's some sort of structural design which is not common. So that really great show, Grand Designs, where people have done something interesting, like the house turns, or it's completely solar powered, or it's a dolphin for a chef or something. But like there's always something that's like completely unique, whereas a 30 million rand house will be essentially common.
It's a big house.
Yeah.
Okay, here are a couple of points. Kelly says, a heater in the bathroom is awesome. I have a wall panel heater, minimal electricity consumption.
Those are great, yeah.
Warm bathroom in winter.
Mm.
Thank you, Kelly. Carla says, guys, underfloor heating can be sorted with solar power, a heat pump, and a closed water circuit. That means that during the day you could heat that water, and at night it is pumped through pipes that run in the floor to warm it up. Minimal energy cost. All right, Carla, thank you. But that means I have to chop up my floors.
Yeah.
It means I have to put in solar panels. Mm. We're talking about, 50 grand's worth of work?
But, Amanda, is it really worth it, though?
It is. It's amazing.
Yeah, because I'm thinking first thing in the morning, you're grumpy and you're still croaky.
And it's in the best part. So I think it's like the kitchen, the lounge, the dining room, and the passage. So when you're walking around the house.
Nice. In winter. Because you see, the heat comes from the bottom and it rises.
Yes.
Mm. And when your feet are warm, everything's warm.
But it's just like, it's a huge mess to put it in. It was ridiculous, the mess.
Yeah. And then the bills afterwards are no fun.
Crazy.
I still want to try it though. You see, it's just like the toilet seats. or rather the toilets with the heated seats.
Oh,
rather,
you like
and that's
that.
Like the craze.
Listen,
I've never used one of those, but I'm
there's a thing called a Toto.
Toto?
Toto toilet. This
Not
thing.
Africa, Toto.
I've never used one. I saw an ad for one the other day online, so I clicked on it. Mm-hmm. This thing is, it does everything that you could possibly imagine a toilet could do. It sprays your asshole after you've taken a dump.
Oh.
It warms the seat. It plays music. It does everything. The perfect toilet experience.
If I'm alive at 80, I'm just going to take all of my investments and just put it into one of those toilets.
I'm telling you.
With like a screen, you can watch some TV while you're there.
Mm.
Damn, that's life. Oh, and then just concluding the story, in the Cape, a Financial 24 says that the water crisis in Cape Town hasn't impacted the property or sales of property at all.
Hmm.
As you know, there's this whole going green thing, so people aren't really concerned, and also because it is a lot of international buyers, they're using these properties as investments rather.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people also, they want to make their properties more water efficient, more electricity efficient, so it's almost like a challenge.
And on the investment note, that's part of the reason why Joburg has seen a bit of a drop on the list as well, because people don't necessarily want to invest in the hustle and the bustle of the city or to get stuck in traffic when you're on holiday, but rather just Instagram your wine when you're in Clifton.
Yeah, and like a lot of those big estates are all being subdivided. Like wherever you go, you see development in these areas because you're getting cluster complexes where there used to be one grand house.
And I suppose also from the point of view of an investment, it's a very good investment to have because you can rent it out to foreigners. They'll pay you a huge amount of rent every month and you don't have to actually live there yourself. So it pays for itself.
Silver lining, you don't see Harry Frank with no shirt on and a big boob walking out of his like balcony. At least you get sea views. That's better.
Yeah, damn right. It's like those girls who post Instagram pics from yachts and big Cape Town mansions. Ladies, we know that you don't own that house and we know what you're doing to get those pictures.
Yeah. And we know how big and sweaty those men are that you're hanging out with.
Yeah,
we know who you're doing for that.
We're on to you. Yeah, girls, don't think we're stupid.
It's just like hashtag, it's like sunset yacht back hair.
Because
that's pretty much what your day's about.
If everyone was honest on their social media like that.
Like sunset, the hashtag of back
sunset
hair.
Sunset yacht, hashtag beautiful, hashtag blessed, hashtag back hair.
Hashtag had to take out a pube in my mouth before.
Hashtag they're all my dad's friends.
Yeah.
That's right.
That is.
Yes.
There goes the romance.
That's the truth. All right, let's look at why it's important for people to have rules on planes. I think this is a massive thing. We were talking about this a little earlier, so for the sake of those people who might not have heard it, let me help you out here. There are lots of people who travel by plane these days that maybe it's their first time. Maybe they were never really raised properly by their parents. They don't know how to behave when they're in confined spaces with other people. And there are a billion people every year that pass through just the US on planes.
That's, wow.
Now, the secret to this is that there are unspoken rules. Things that aren't written on a card and put in a seat pocket in front of you. They aren't distributed. You can't get an SMS reminder on your phone about these rules. So let's look at them, okay? And you give me your comments on whether you think these are valid rules or not and whether you've ever had a reason to apply these rules in your own life when you're on a plane or seen other people applying them and been happy to see it being done. So first of all, never ask someone if you can skip the security line.
Totally agree. I totally agree. A lot of it comes down to, oh, I was late, sorry. There are so many different ways you can be on time. All of which don't cost you a cent.
Yeah, you know, and also if you're late for your plane, that's really nobody else's problem.
Yeah.
Those people got there on time for their plane. You are not more important than them. You are not allowed to skip past them. So that's number one. Don't do it. And I've stood back and let people go.
Yeah.
I accept when I'm too late for my plane. I missed it. That's it.
I think a lot of this is like, just try to take the stress out of it. And it's not just your personal stress. You can make other people stressed and uncomfortable, and nobody needs that.
So You see, I often let people through because I always have bad karma when traveling.
Yeah,
I'm always late.
I'll let people through as well, but it's not cool. And you shouldn't be doing that to people. You shouldn't be pushing your way through to the front of the line just because you're late for your plane. Number two, don't get upset if the people at the scanners
mm-hmm.
are rude to you, because they're there to make sure that everybody's safe. And this is something that we all get upset with because it's very humiliating, especially in America. You have to take off your shoes. Mm. You have to take off your belt. You have to go through this machine where you stand with your arms up like you're a convicted felon. You have your bag scanned. They take your laptop out. You have to gather it all on the other side. It's a disaster. It's a mess, right?
Exactly.
But they're just doing their job. They didn't ask to be there. They're not particularly interested in making your day shitty. No. All they want to do is make sure no one gets on the plane with a bomb.
And they have rules, and essentially all they're doing is they're processing people.
Correct.
I'm extra nice to them when traveling for work, because often I have some sort of equipment, microphone, speaker, or something in my luggage. I'm like, please.
Oh, no, you don't. The last time. Oh, the last time you traveled.
The last time was different.
The last time Sia traveled, he left me with two gigantic boxes. I was hauling around like the size of a coffin. I had to pull around the airport while Sia had traveled with his little overnight bag.
The last time was different. Yeah,
little overnight bag. He leaves me so much stuff they had to bring it on a truck. I had to go to a place I've never been before. The overweight baggage department. Have you ever been to that counter?
Dark corner of the airport.
They looked at me
He's
like
been
I
been
hovering
this since Feb.
They look at you like you've eaten too much. They're like, oh, what are you bringing that here for? Mm-hmm. And you put it on the little weigh bridge because it's huge. And they weigh it. And they say to you, oh, that'll cost you an extra 300 rand or whatever it is. And you have to load it. So you first have to go to the check-in counter, get your check-in. Then you have to go to the weighing counter, get mm-hmm. that done, pay them. Then go back to the check-in
and
counter.
And isn't the worst because you need a receipt from some office. Then you pay somewhere else.
And it's a long walk. Yeah. It's a walk of shame both ways.
But not Sia's problem because he didn't haul it around. I did.
Of course not. He's
that
all
was
way,
once, Gareth. Forgive
all
me.
All the way to Cape Town.
He's being nice to staff who don't have anything to worry about.
Are you kidding?
If it makes you feel better, I had to lug my own, like, massive luggage.
Here's another one. Don't leave about 20 bins of your personal belongings sitting on the edge of the conveyor belt for some poor guy behind you to push through while you go to the body scanner. And don't have so much crap on you when you go through the scanner. Why must you have 7 bags, 3 laptops, 5 watches, 2 belts, and a collection of pocket knives and cell phones that would beg a belief? Why? Why do you need all that shit? Put it in the bag that you check your luggage in.
Like a small thing, I always travel with a hat. So I wear a hat, and when it gets to this point where I'm 4 or 5 people back, into the hat goes the watch, cell phone, wallet, all those little things. So literally, I get there. It's all in the hat, and that hat goes into one little of those little bins, just one.
I like it. Ben gets maximum points. That's very good.
See, and then, I'm not standing there like a dick, and no one behind me standing like a dick.
You're not getting these tips from Anele on 947, people. This is useful information, let me tell you. Don't ask a stranger to watch your stuff. If you've got to pee,
that's the worst.
Take your stuff with you.
Because in this day and age, that person could be a terrorist, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just need to go pee. Can you watch my bomb?
Yeah, next
I mean,
thing,
I'm not saying there are.
You get arrested.
But why must we have that stress?
Right.
I'm surprised, like, for airport loos, they aren't exactly luggage friendly. Like, I mean, you know, for guys, it's easy to just roll your suitcase up to the urinal. But, if you want to get into a stall, aren't...
It's also not exactly difficult. So, look, unless that situation where you lumped Gareth with all that stuff, you should always be able to go to the loo with whatever you've got. If you can't go to the loo with what you've got too much stuff.
Yeah, I agree. You're not moving there permanently. You're going away for the weekend or you're flying down on business. All right, no hot food of any kind on a plane.
Yep.
Especially if it's from a fast food joint that has a highly identifiable smell. There's nothing more atrocious than the trapped odors of grease and meat on a plane. Mm. Worse than snakes on a plane.
Oh, it's the worst. I mean, I know airline food's not great. It's not the most thing you look forward to. But at least have faith that they will give you something edible.
Yeah, and if you really don't like airline food, eat before.
Exactly.
Have your dinner. On Saturday night, I had dinner at the airport terminal. I didn't eat on the plane. Yeah. I landed here on Sunday morning. I didn't have breakfast on the plane either. I was fine.
You weren't starved.
No, you'll survive. The only acceptable place to fart on a plane is when you're walking through first class on the way to coach.
Yes. Pretty much.
Good point. If you're going to fart on a plane, make sure it's in first class on your way to your seat in economy, all right? Mm. There's another rule. If you can't lift your own bag, don't take it on board.
Oh, then... Oh,
I mean,
then
there are exceptions. People. Like, they're little old ladies who need some help.
You might have a shoulder injury.
You might have John McCain arms, so you can't lift your arms that high.
But that's a lot of pressure. You know, I've been asked so many times, and I'm like, are you really asking me this little size minus 7 scarecrow, and now I have to pretend for all of these people like I'm not struggling with how heavy your bag is? I don't want to.
Yeah, but I mean, go to CrossFit, learn something that makes, get a strong base, learn how to squat, clean and jerk, deadlift, the whole deal. But again, it's Gareth, it's making your problems others.
Yes.
Yeah. Look, ask me for help, I'll always help you, but don't keep doing this. Don't keep doing this. If you've got no strength in your arms at all, or you're crooked and you can't reach the damn thing, then put your bag under the seat in front of you and make sure it's small enough to fit in there. Number 9, you are morally obligated to offer to switch seats with someone. This is amazing. So they can sit next to a child, elderly, or sick person in their accompaniment. Otherwise, you have the right to refuse the request. The honeymoon be damned. So you are not... I mean, there are two ways to look at this rule. Some people say you have to. If a couple were traveling together and there were two seats on the one side, I would give up my seat so the two of them could sit together.
Yeah.
Essentially, because you're in the middle as well.
Yeah.
So what people also try to do in their book, right, is they book the aisle and the window seat, hoping that nobody wants that middle seat, therefore they get three seats. This is a tactic some people use.
Yes.
But if the flight is full, then you've got the situation and you're like, crap, so there's a stranger in between. But the stranger should just, you're flying alone. You're in the middle seat.
Mm. Number 10, this is very important. Please listen, everybody. Okay, don't be an asshole. Do not recline your seat in economy. It's not necessary. What you do is you think you're going to get a little bit more comfort, but all you do is you create a chain reaction of shit behind you.
Yeah.
Everybody then behind you is in a situation where, okay, well, now I'm squeezed. If I don't put my seat back, I'm going to be in a worse position. And then the person behind you has to do that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all the way to the back of the plane. It's horrible.
It's just insensitive.
It's a tough one, though, because why do seats recline? You've got that capability. Okay. People are going to use it.
Solution, then, turn around, ask the person behind you, do you mind if I recline my seat? It's not going to cost you anything. And if they say no, then you know they're an asshole and you can do it later on anyway.
That's okay? Fair.
Fair enough.
Plus, you know, that's good engagement.
Middle seat gets the armrests.
Yeah, I think Rich Mulholland has said this about 17 times as well.
Always. He's a big flyer. The unlucky person in the middle seat has only one thing going for them. That is the ownership of the armrests. At best, you can sort of lean your elbow on the tiny edge of the armrest. What if they aren't using it? Can I use it then? No. Oh. You audacious, privileged monster. Go back to enjoying your window and or breathing room. Okay? Stop it.
You audacious, privileged monster.
Monster. Okay. You're allowed to say something to a parent if their kid is being obnoxious. You are allowed. Did you hear that, parents? Oof. If your child is being obnoxious and rattling the seat that I'm sitting in,
yep,
I'm going to turn around and be rude to your child. And you're going to have nothing to say about it because your child's out of control.
See, now, the whole thing about having rules is that you can just be considerate towards others. If you do have a child, and children do become unruly, and the planes are like an unfamiliar situation, they will act up. But you got to prep them. You got to know they're going into that game knowing what they're about to encounter.
And get them ready. I say to them, listen, you misbehave on this plane, we'll throw you out of the window.
Yeah, so
they've got to know the price is high.
Ooh. They've got to know that misbehaving here means no Father Christmas. Misbehaving here means you're not going to school.
It means broken limbs.
See, the problem is with the parents in most cases because they don't prepare their kids that way.
No, and then it becomes everybody's problem. So everyone has to raise your child because you're a shit parent.
Yeah, when you step in, then they attack you.
No, listen.
So you're the bad
guys, person. This is there has never been a more important moment in public service announcements than this. We all need to get along on planes. It might be an hour, it might be 2 hours, it might be 10. We need to figure this stuff out. you can make everybody's life pleasant or a misery. Please, parents, prepare your children for a flight. Mm-hmm. Their ears are going to pop. You know, their ears go, oh, because it's the altitude changes.
Have some biltong for them. Help something them. To chew on.
Help. Like, prepare them. Don't just haul the stupid child on board and not tell it anything about what's going to happen. Of course it's going to cry. And then guess what? It's my problem and Ben's problem and Sia's problem and everybody else's. And we didn't have your child. You did. You are not allowed to enforce your problem onto the rest of us. Greg says, Ben's head is so big that his hat can probably fit a laptop and a few coats.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, there we go. True.
That's great. All right.
Who travels with more than one coat?
You are still responsible for yourself when you're asleep. Listen, someone once woke me up to tell me that the drink cart was coming by. That's not okay. The only time it's acceptable to wake someone up, besides having to pee, is when they've lost control of their faculties. No snoring so loudly that people around you are snickering. No spilling over where you fall into the seat next to you and you end up snoozing on someone's shoulder. You're not allowed to do that. You are still responsible for yourself when you sleep.
And again, and it's the farting in the sleep and all that kind of stuff. You're still responsible for everything.
Stop it. Don't half stand up when someone needs to get out of the worst. Road.
And there's always some sort of subtle genitalia brush that you don't want.
I'm down with that.
What if it's are you kidding? What if it's that creepy pedophile that's going to jail today?
Exactly. And he like half stands up and then sort of thrusts his
what if he's got a forward. Semi and he pushes it's it up against him?
Get into the aisle, you sicko.
Ugh, there's really. Nothing wrong with the Lord getting well acquainted with who like, you're sitting next to.
I mean, like, I'm relatively small and nimble, right? So I can like jump into my seat or contort my way, but there shouldn't be any sort of hindrance.
No, just get out of the way and stand in the aisle. Okay.
Is it rude for us small people to do that? Like to lift your legs up or to just, you know, turn in your seat and not stand
if you're in the
up?
Middle
do you guys
seat,
find that rude?
If you're in the middle seat, so you can't exactly then wait for Fatso on the aisle to get up. So sometimes you have to just recoil into your chair.
Yeah.
As long as there's plenty of space for window person to move.
Okay, there we go. I do that.
Here's another one. Don't grab the back of every seat as you walk down the aisle. Your fellow passengers don't deserve to be pulled around every time that you get up. Don't use the back of the seat for momentum on your long crawl to the bathroom. If you're wearing a backpack while boarding, take it off and carry it at your side, because as soon as you turn, both your butt and your backpack are going smack into someone's head. That's not cool.
You know, the more you go on with this list, the more I realize how just people forget everything.
People don't realize
this. They forget everything when they go onto these planes.
All right.
Like, this is basic spatial awareness.
You can drink at any point, at any hour, with impunity, but be aware of the consequences of that. In other words, you're not allowed to get drunk on the plane. Okay,
you
I'm
can
sorry.
Get drunk, but don't get out of hand. Like, don't act like it's like you're 21st.
But I think people get drunk because they have a fear of flying.
Yeah, Amanda's scared of flying.
Take a pill.
That's what I said.
Take a pill. You get these anxiety pills.
Yeah, no, my sister tends to go a bit overboard with the wine, but because she's scared, but then, like, no.
Yeah, but she doesn't become obnoxious to all the other passengers.
No.
See, that's where it gets problematic.
See, like, if you're a bad drunk, then you're a bad drunk. Flying's not going to miraculously cure that. So being drunk on a plane is a bad idea.
All right, if you're scared of flying, then this next one applies to you. Don't freak out when there's turbulence. When a plane is bumpy, that's not turbulence. I don't want to jinx anything, but actual turbulence isn't really dangerous. It's just dangerous to you, personally, if you don't know how to listen and put on your seatbelt when the pilot says so. All right, do not stick your bare feet out into the aisle.
Oh, well, bare feet. In general.
it is so strange. Like, we all have feet, right? Oh. But no one wants to see feet.
Oh.
I mean, even just the word sounds just feet.
No, I was fine with feet up until most recently. I can't remember where I was going, but I was on the plane and there was a guy who was, you know, sitting by the window and I was on the aisle and he put his foot on his chair.
Oh.
And I was like, where's this going? He starts picking at his toenails.
Oh, no, see, I'm out of the plane, no
parachute.
Do you
know
parachute.
What was worse? Ouch. There was a flick action afterwards.
No, out.
Your direction?
No,
I don't care where it landed. Oh, it's the fact that
he flicked just, no.
Oh. Shit off. Wow. That is nasty. Wow.
That's disgusting.
Like, I totally get you want to kick your shoes off. That's fine, okay? That's okay. But, like, most airlines, especially long haul, you get little socks. And those are fresh and they're clean. No one's worn those. So I put that on. That'll make you feel nice.
Okay. We've got to leave the feet alone. It's making me sick. And speaking of sickness, if you're going to use an air sickness bag, please double bag it.
Yeah.
You cannot. And I've never seen anyone on a plane using an air sickness bag. Mm. But my God, if you're going to do that, please. You need to use two bags. And please do not. If you could possibly avoid it, go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know?
Or at least get close to the bathroom.
Because that smell is going to permeate through the whole fuselage.
But there are those people, you know, who get tipped off based on hearing someone else.
Imagine the chain reaction.
You may not rush to the front and cut people off when you're getting off the plane. You got to just wait. Your row, you will get your chance.
Yeah.
There are people who are in such a hurry. Now on this trip, this one woman pulled her bag out from the overhead stowage and she let it drop hard onto someone else's hand because she was in such a goddamned hurry to get off the plane. I don't know whether she thought someone was going to steal her ugly bag, whether she thought that if she didn't hurry up that she'd be left on the plane forever. But this crazy woman just pulled this bag and slammed it down in someone else's hand. Horrible, horrible person.
See, like, your row says a lot about your life for the next few hours, and just be okay with that.
I never got the idea of people who are in a rush.
Yeah, on a plane.
When you're boarding or when you're
going to get there 5 seconds earlier than me, please.
Yeah.
We're all the same, you know?
Get over your goddamn self. And then finally, don't aggressively crowd the baggage belt in baggage claim.
Oh, this too.
People stand around there. They've got trolleys. They position their trolleys, you know?
And then they're standing side by side, and it's like three of them.
And their bag comes out last. So everybody else has to wait for them to get out of the way. Calm down.
Yeah, so this entire list is something new we're starting here on the Gareth Cliff Show. So if you go onto cliffcentral.com, we'll be sharing some of the content from the show. So if there's been some great clips or videos, then Dory, who's responsible for all of this, she'll put it onto a blog post. So if you do like stuff that we go through, like this blog post from Thrill List, you can get it all after the show.
All right, listen to this. Kids don't get smacks anymore, says Gary. When I was a kid, if I misbehaved, my life was in danger.
See, you know, Gary's a great human being now as a result.
Life is in danger.
Yeah. On a flight 4 months ago, says Bryden in Cape Town, Joburg to Cape Town, father of two young little monsters watching shows on a laptop without the earplugs for all to hear. After departure, two KFC Streetwise meals are pulled out from under the seat. And shortly after that, a bowl of pup covered with a towel. 2 weeks later, from Cape Town to Durban, Kalula, two mates purchase ocean basket takeaways for the flight. One calamari, one fish. This is unacceptable. Oh. I'm so sorry, Bryden. What a terrible thing to happen. Ugh.
See, now, there's two things to this. You can be a malicious, evil monster, or you just don't consider the ramifications of your actions.
It's being raised badly. I'm sorry. It just means your parents never taught you anything, and you haven't been integrated into polite society. You're a barbarian.
But I think what stops people from saying something or confronting that person is the fact that you'll be stuck with this person for an hour, 2, 10, 14 hours. You know,
horrible.
You don't want to make it awkward. Because for me, I still, and I know we've had this conversation before, I just have anxiety over the phone thing. So I'm more at ease when I see everyone switch their phones off. But I always feel bad when I see someone who just, you know, puts their phone on standby. I'm like, but that's, you know. So do I voice it out? Do I tell someone? Ugh.
Nothing's going to happen with the phone.
I don't know where I'm at, but I've got a few stories to tell about.
All right, well, listen, first of all, Marilyn, this line is not 100%, so can we keep it to one story?
Yes. I used to work for Price Waterhouse.
Yeah.
And in so we had to go to do shops So socks means Sorbonne-Oxley. And
what?
We had to Sorbonne-Oxley.
What is
so,
that?
it means that you have to do certain things control-wise. And so all the companies in America had to do that. They had to do Sorbonne-Oxley. So a bunch of us went, brush water out.
I don't know what she's talking about. I've had enough. All right, now let's move on. It's more stuff to talk about. Jesus, I mean, what was that?
Are you still with me with the phone line?
I don't know. It was half the phone line, half her. Marilyn, you take a couple of weeks off calling us. How about that? All right? That would be nice. Good Lord. What's going on there? Is that mental illness? What is that?
Okay.
I did my sixth body tech session yesterday.
This is the final, right?
Yeah, it's the last one.
I hope for your good case it is.
Lord, it hurt. Is that good? They put this thing on you. It's medieval torture. And they make you do very simple movements.
Yeah, no.
Very simple movements. Feels like you are being punished by all the gods. They unload electricity into you. I'm telling you, it can't be good long term. If you did this every week for a year, I think you'd end up with like some kind of problem, some neurological problem.
Silver lining, you survived.
I survived, and it works.
Will you be going back?
Not right now. Well, I might. I might have to. I might want to keep trying because I don't believe with 6 weeks you've got enough data. I don't know that I've improved that much.
Okay.
But I can certainly feel it worked.
Uh-huh.
So it's worth a try.
Look, where that body tech is really great, like if you've been in an accident or you can't do any sort of impact training, you need to rehabilitate yourself. It's a way of getting an intense training without too much stress as far as movements are concerned.
Correct.
But if you're completely able-bodied like you are, Gareth, then you can probably get better results, more sustainable results elsewhere.
I don't know. For me, anything with volts of electricity on your body kind of scares me. It's that, and I know like there's this treatment, I don't know what the correct term for it is, but some people who suffer with depression or mental issues get like some shock therapy.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's bad for your brain. Forget about your body.
Yeah, don't know.
All right, here are a couple of messages we've got to get to. First of all, there's somebody who says, please don't take calls on that Morse code line. It is terrible.
Yep.
What the hell? I have too much plane etiquette. Some stuff really pisses me off. I usually drink quite a few shots before going to sleep on the plane, so I don't have to deal with the stuff that happens on there.
You see, I would rather have like a booze breath than a beefy, fishy breath.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd rather you burp vodka out.
Beef and onion pie.
Imagine. No,
there's nothing worse than
a garage pie.
Exactly, yeah. Sardines.
Come on, that's great.
Ugh. No,
but you know, like another thing you should do is, you know, you get those buffs, those like material things you put over your head.
Okay.
If you really do battle with this, and I do as well, is that you just spray some fragrance on that, and you can use it as like a semi balaclava. Because there's times when the smell and you want a peaceful sleep.
I've just got to agree with a bunch of people on the line here who say that this phone line is so terrible that we must please not use it anymore. So, in solidarity with those people, I'm unplugging the phone now.
I came very close last week to doing just that.
Yeah, I'm over that phone.
That's done.
God damn that phone to hell. And I'm not. And you know what? Somebody's going to sort this out today, or I'm going to pull every plug out of that phone on the other side, and I'm going to throw it in the garbage pail, and I'm going to set it on fire. Uh-huh. I mean it. Don't take calls on that phone. Tweet your damn phone line. Guys, can we please throw that phone out? Just tuned in. Where's Mubs? I missed that sexy voice. Well, she's off today. She had to go and do something at 5 o'clock this morning. Some other work that she had to do. Very mysterious.
You see, for some people who have all these ideas about what Justice does in his spare time and why Rich Mulholland is always traveling.
One idea with Justice, really.
Yeah, maybe Mabal is also part of that cartel.
Maybe.
You know?
They all have a certain composure about them, all three of them.
Luvoyo says, I would like to change the constitution and make a law that would arrest people for wearing slops on a plane. Is that a problem?
No, because I've been person.
Is that a problem?
I don't know, because again, it's what you do with your feet.
Slops are comfortable.
Here's another one.
Has anybody watched that show American Gods yet?
Not yet.
Apparently, it is one of the best shows on air right now. So they want our feedback. Morning team, welcome back. Gareth, Mile High Club, bad etiquette. Regards, Stephen. Look, this whole Mile High Club is totally overrated.
Yeah.
First of all, you have to do what you want to do in the bathroom of a plane. There is no less sanitary environment in the universe than the bathroom. There's pee on the floor. The basin always looks like someone has just blown their nose all over it. You got water and tissue schmutz, and it's just disgusting. And even that noise that the toilet makes when you flush it, where it sucks the air out of the whole room,
yeah,
it's just not on. I don't think you should ever try this Mile High Club. Unless you've got a private jet,
yeah,
stop it.
And it's tiny as well. But listen, some people see that as a challenge, you know, that they want to take on. But secondly as well, it's bad lighting and you don't want to look at yourself.
It's just very 90s. Yeah, very 90s.
Yeah, look, please.
Private jets is the way to go.
And what are you going to do? You and some beautiful girl sitting in the row in economy, you're going to put the armrest up between you and go under a blanket and start playing with each other's genitalia? Don't tell me that's sexy. That's just creepy for everyone else who's on the plane. Think about how they feel. It's not turning them on, I can promise you that. Hell no. So this Mile High Club is just stupid. Get over it. Come on. Grow up. Ben's head is so enormous, says someone.
Oh, man.
With a hat like that.
Oh, Benjamin.
He shouldn't be allowed through security. Anushka says it's not just the phone lines, it's also prescription medication abuse.
Oh.
All right.
Trying to see the correlation there.
Yeah. Who's coming up in a short while, Sia? Why don't you give us, you're the producer of the show, tell us who's next on cliffcentral.com and what can we look forward to in the next hour? It's only about 10 minutes to 8. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Sia Sangweni, the producer of the show this morning. What's going on the show?
Well, this morning we are celebrating a true South African icon.
Mm-hmm.
The people behind Rooi Roosa magazine.
Hell yes.
Are celebrating quite a huge milestone this year. The magazine is turning 75 years old.
Wow.
So apart from finding out what goes into the magazine, some of the amazing people that they've interviewed, the history of the publication itself, they're also great things.
Sia, is enough.
I think I've done them
justice.
You
did well.
Exactly.
Do you know that Rooi Roosa magazine launched Charlize Theron? Sia told me this yesterday.
Definitely.
That's no small achievement.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Rooi Roosa, the people who they found and launched Charlize Theron, no less than that, my friend.
She would not be where she was.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't for the magazine.
That's a big deal. Ba-da-da-ba-da. Gareth, you have a revolutionary high tech show. If your listeners can pay for shitty landline calls, they could pay for data to Skype you.
Good point.
Yeah, but we've got to get those phone lines sorted out. It's insane. How come I've spoken to people on my cell phone from Korea.
Yeah.
And it sounds clearer than that. What bedevils these phones of ours? We have the worst phone line in the world coming into the studio. It's like it passes through hell on the way here. You know, you're phoning and you're like,
hi, could I please speak to Gareth?
Hold on, we'll put you through hell first.
Sorry, who's that?
Satan.
Hi, Satan, can I speak to Gareth, please?
Hold on, you're on line 7.
And then you get the on-hold music. Sorry. So, and then you get the on-hold music. Which is fantastic, because that's what everybody looks forward to on the show. That's the most important part of what we do, you know. When you're sitting there and you're waiting to talk to us, and you're excited to be on the show, and then suddenly you hear our on-hold music, which is this one.
Oh, he'll be with you in a minute.
Is that how Amanda sounds?
Thank you, Satan. Who will I speak to before I go on to Gareth?
Amanda. Amanda, there's a call for you on line 7. Spread my name.
I'm putting on a fake phone voice here through a megaphone, and it sounds better than our phone lines.
Hello?
That's as clear as day compared to what we get on the phone lines. This is how it sounds on the phone. Sounds like the alien.
I think it's the ghost living in our rooftop.
I mean, what do we need? Do we need Einstein to come in here and look at the phones?
Well, there's some more
messages. We've been here for 3 years. We've never had a clean call. Never
some,
in 3 years.
Some more
years.
Messages, Gareth, coming through thinking that the Guptas have tapped our lines, therefore it's compromised.
The Guptas. Mm.
And Wackett Simpson and Roger Good are also tapping the lines for content.
Yeah, well, that's the only place they'll ever get.
So if everyone could stop tapping our lines, right, maybe they'll come through.
Listen to this quickly. This is from Hal. She says, we went to Mauritius a couple of years ago.
Oh, Hal the name. I thought we're still talking to the devil
on the line. Yeah. I sat behind a serial farter for 5 hours. So oh, my word, she says, it was disgusting. The poor woman next to him had her sleep mask over her nose and mouth the whole time. The stinker didn't even get up and go to the loo once to relieve his bowels. Out of nose shot. 5 hours. What horror. See, what horror.
That's where you've just got to throw them out the plane. I know that sounds medieval, but you've got to throw someone out the plane if that happens.
A person on the flight that I was on earlier this month, says somebody, moved a seat so that a kid could sit next to his mother. As we took off, the kid threw up all over that kind person. See, there's no good deed that goes unpunished.
But it's true. Like my girlfriend travels a lot for work, and every time she comes back, she has a story which is not nice. Just unsavory people. Like, she could add to this conversation for 20 minutes. Just people are just so fundamentally shit once they get into a plane.
Do you know what? I think the same way you get, like, Voyager miles,
yeah,
you should also get etiquette miles.
Yeah,
great. I don't know who would grade those.
They should
those.
Minus your Voyager miles if you behave badly on a plane.
But we like should if someone grade identifies, people accordingly.
If someone identifies you for farting for 5 hours on a plane, you should have all your Voyager miles taken away.
The next put the time, farter with the throwing up kid together.
And then the next time you fly, you'd be 10,000 rand to go from Cape Town to like Joburg.
You get fined.
I was like, well, why is it so expensive? It's like, well, because you fart, you horrible monster.
Yes. You're a terrible person.
And then it'd be like, wow, well, I only want to really spend a grand and a half in this flight. Well, then stop farting. Yeah. Okay, cool. Problem solved.
Yeah, that was from Justin in Stockholm in Sweden. How cool is that? Mm. And how about you rate your fellow flyer, says somebody, like Uber. That would be a good plan. See, like you actually, you can rate the people on either side and in front and behind you.
See, this goes back again to Black Mirror, okay? What a great show it is. There's an episode where you literally are rating people every single day of your life. So if Sia just said something really funny right now, I will then give Sia a rating. So Sia, who was maybe a 4.7 out of 5, he's now a 4.8. Fart over there, the guy sitting next to you, you rate him a -2 because he stinks, okay? And he gets off the plane and it's like, oh shit, my rating's down to 2 stars. His boss calls him and says, you're a 2-star human being, you're fired.
Good. Yeah.
Wouldn't.
A friend's husband on the way back from Mauritius got so sick of a farter that he eventually shouted, just please go and take a dump.
Oh.
I've read a story like that too. Apparently it was an overseas flight and this woman got up and just said, oh, for the love of fuck, would you stop farting? Just shouted at the sky. And the great thing is, then you got the whole plane on, like, supporting you, right?
Yeah.
And then that person is like, there's no comeback.
That's awful. Oh, man. All right, I think we've spent enough time on this, but it's been fun. There we go.
This is the public service announcement.
That's it. That's the longest public service announcement ever, but it's very important. If we don't deal with this stuff, we'll never be able to get along in confined spaces. By the way, this stuff goes for buses, it goes for taxis, all of the stuff applies in all of those situations too. It's not just planes.
Mm. Yeah.
And if you're sharing a car with someone on a long road trip, same thing goes.
Or a studio for radio.
Yeah.
Who farted this morning?
Who?
None of us. Because we care about the environment.
I thought there was going to be a point of finger.
Yeah, you don't do that. Like, imagine just going into a meeting and letting...
Both of you seem very, very defensive when I asked that question.
I was more confused. Like, where is this going?
Gareth, that was really rude. Granted, Marilyn was annoying in this particular storytelling. That was rude. Well, then don't you call either, because I'm going to do the same to you. How about that? How does the Reserve Bank make profit? Can we ask Anthea that tomorrow? Of course we can.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good question. We'll handle that tomorrow.
Hey, yeah. Well, talking about, you know, like, it's interesting how much we can complain about the economy.
Yeah.
But then you still hear news like, for example, Facebook is now in talks with Hollywood studios regarding producing script TV quality shows with the aim of launching original programming by late summer. This is their summer.
Oh, no. I don't want to watch movies made by Facebook.
No, well, it will be TV shows, even Nochal. But here's the thing. They are so, like, enamored with this idea that Facebook is willing to commit as high as $3 million per episode for production budgets. So you go like, well, you know, we may be feeling the pinch, but
Facebook aren't.
Not
they've got at money
all.
To, they've got money to burn.
Not at all. But this is, again, want, it's like a positional thing, right?
I don't want Mark Zuckerberg. Can we not have Mark Zuckerberg making movies, please? He's annoying enough. Please don't let this creep make movies.
I was rewatching this. What Facebook, what's that service called? Amazon has it, but now Facebook has something similar. You call out to this thing in the corner.
Oh, Alexa.
That's it. Mm. I was rewatching the trailer that Facebook produced, and I was like, Mark really is a bit of like
he's a creep.
An off character.
He's a horrible human being, and he's going to, you mark my words, he's trying to be.
That's the name of his autobiography, probably. Mark my words.
Mark my words. Yeah. Watch. This guy is going to run for office, and he's going to do it by nefarious means. He's going to use Facebook to campaign for him.
We saw in the last election.
He wants to be powerful. It's not enough for him to be rich. He wants to be powerful too. And trust me, he will use information that you've put online against you if you stand against him. He is a first-rate creep.
We saw in the last elections there was a lot of pro-Hillary stories that made timelines. And very few other than negative
and
Trump.
Now, he's going around like he was doing, what was it he was doing the other day? He attended like a pride march in Omaha, Nebraska. Now, I mean,
that's really trying to be like,
he's really trying hard, right?
Yeah.
He married a Chinese woman because the one place he can't get into with Facebook is China.
I'd still like to believe they married for love.
No, they don't.
Yeah, so would she.
No, that guy's incapable of love. He's a husk of a human being. He's not a real human. Oh. Deep inside, there's no heart beating there. He's all Machiavellian. Trust me,
Mark. Come, let me love you. And by let me love you, I mean give me some of your billions.
Yeah, sure. Come. See, I'll
show you true love.
Please.
It's fine, Mark.
No.
Well, talking, you know, on this Facebook thing, I think they're just following along the lines of what Apple has recently done, because Apple hired the co-presidents of Sony Pictures Television earlier this month to lead its video programming effort. So I guess like these tech companies really just
Listen,
want to own
guys,
everything.
Guys, can I just tell everybody who's jumping into the content bandwagon now?
Mm-hmm.
You're not content people. Apple, you make computers and phones and tablets. Stick to that. I'm not coming to you for content. Facebook, you allow us to generate our own content online, and we get to talk to each other and send each other messages and add friends and delete friends and say we're in a relationship and post statuses. That's good enough. You've cornered the market on that. The minute you start producing a Facebook-produced movie, McDonald's are going to suddenly start selling fish? No. Not on.
I wonder, so what's their ultimate vision? They want us to...
They're all going into content because they see it's the only way to get people to spend.
So we go to Facebook to upload what we were doing this weekend, and we're also now going to watch.
Now, when you go to the movie cinema, you're going to end up watching a movie with goddamn Zuckerberg as the executive producer. No! It's like the cell phone networks in South Africa. They're also obsessed with being content people. You're a cell phone network. I don't think about you or care about you unless I don't have a signal and my 4G drops out. Otherwise, do that. Just focus on that. I don't care that you sponsor a rugby team, and I'm not interested in what content you provide. I'm really not. If I want content, I go to cliffcentral.com, or I go to News24, or I go to Netflix.
I'm not looking for content from Vodacom and MTN and Cell C. That's the wrong place to look. Same goes for Facebook and Apple. Stop it. You're embarrassing yourselves. If you're a truck driver, be a truck driver. Don't try and be a plumber as well.
Yeah, it is this thing that they just want to own everything.
They want to be everywhere. They want to control.
They want to be everything to everyone.
You've done well. Listen, Facebook and Apple, these are multi-billion-dollar companies. They're very successful. And I know you have to keep on expanding so your shareholders will be happy and the share price will go up.
I guess it's this thing where they also want to reinvent themselves.
Make a phone that doesn't run out of battery in 5 hours. How about that, Apple?
Well, didn't Twitter try that, Ben, with the Museum of Failures? to launch a phone.
Yeah. And you realize that there was once a phone, it was just a Twitter.
Facebook, how about removing all those fake profiles online? That would be a good move. You're worried about making movies. Stop worrying about making movies. Get rid of the crap online, Facebook. Focus on your core business.
Hey, they've already signed on a relationship drama called Strangers and a game show called Last State Standing. Let's see. I think Apple has more of a future in this regard because, you know, they're the ones who are adapting James Corden's Carpool Karaoke. And they've actually made it into a
program. Hasn't that been done to death now? How many more people can possibly get in a car and sing with James Corden before that's boring?
See, I thought that's what they were going to do. What Apple has now done is, which is so brilliant when you think about it, though, they're basically taking anyone topical or on the promotion trail, which is the whole of Hollywood. So right now, Queen Latifah and Jada Pinkett Smith have a new movie out, and they have the whole cast in a car together, and they're driving around Hollywood promoting their new movie, and they happen to sing in the car as well. Hey, people will watch. People will watch.
Really? Yeah. Please, can we not?
Yeah, let's band together.
No more of that. How about that, James Corden? Find us another feature. You and Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel. How about you come up with something new? We've seen the Carpool Karaoke. The best one was Stevie Wonder. And Lady Gaga. Had a couple of good ones. And now you're going to put Jada. Who else is in the car with Jada?
No, so it's every single week there are new stars. So John Legend is on there this season. Alicia Keys is on there this season.
Stop it. It's enough already. Yeah. This is not a concert. You're in a car. Stop it. Come on, people. People, stop being stupid.
Well, I've got a list of things you should take off Facebook, but I mean, I think we've had enough.
Yeah.
All right. Here's something, just one or two of these before we get to our interview with the lovely people of Roy Ruessa. I'm very excited to have them in here. That magazine turned 75 years old. It's a biggie. I actually got a really nice email from them, which is why I decided we'll talk to them. They sound like very cool people. Jared says, if you think flying is terrible, the first time I took a bus to Johannesburg, there was a severely drunk guy that could not stand properly. I jokingly said, I feel sorry for whoever sits next to him. It ended up being me. And he spent most of the trip trying to get me to work for the ANC. Anyone who wants to follow the UK public relations agency Bell Pottinger, which acted as communication advisor for the Guptas on Twitter, will now have to request permission.
Yeah, it's private.
The company, with its headquarters in London, locked its Twitter account after South Africans mocked and replied to tweets even when posts were related to the UK. Well, it couldn't happen to nicer people.
Yeah, because I think the South African Twitter market's a bit more, well, let's just say, aggressive than the rest of Twitter users in the world.
And they helped to make it like that. So the chickens are coming home to roost.
Yeah.
Bell Pottinger, you fuckwits.
Does this count as an inspiring story? Like a good news story?
I'm proud of us.
We have made it.
Look at what we did. We shut them down. Please, could you or Gareth Cliff send out the link for that video on the girl talking about what annoys her about sex yesterday? Well, just listen to the podcast.
That was amazing.
It's in part two of yesterday's podcast. That's the best I can do for you.
But yeah, just to kind of confirm that point again, that a lot of the content we're putting out here, you can find via the website. So you go into the podcast and you'll see the various links and content things that we share with you.
Go and take a look. CliffCentral.com. All right, everybody. It's 7 after 8 already. What the hell? Have I been paying no attention to time at all this morning?
What's going on here? In the next couple of minutes, we'll speak to the people of Roy Ruessa magazine and find out about that magazine. It's part of it's part in South African society, the role that it's played in making stars and in making conversation. And I think we'll all be very excited to hear from them. I'm excited already. It's the 27th of June. Brace yourself. End of the month, just around the corner. And I know it's only Tuesday, but the weekend is waiting for you with open arms. Reading books of old, the legends and the... CliffCentral.com.